Last week, President Biden unveiled his proposal for a 2025 budget, giving voters a glimpse at what they might be getting if they keep him in office and maybe nudge them toward voting in a Democratic-controlled Congress to help him. His proposed plan highlights his efforts to cement his legacy on drug costs, cancer research, and broad health care coverage. So let's take a look at that with Sarah Overmall. She's with our editorial partners at STAT, the health and medicine publication. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And right off the bat, you look at drug shortages and mental health care. Tell us briefly where Biden wants to direct funding there.
Right. I mean, those are two of the relatively few things where he's asking for more money. I think what was interesting is how much they either kept a lot of budgets stagnant or made a few, very few cuts. But on drug shortages, that's a big priority for both parties. So he's requesting $10 million to do a strategy on mitigating drug shortages, and then also another $12 million to the Food and Drug Administration for building resilience and preventing that in the first place. And this has gotten some motion in Congress, so there are chances that that would make its way through. And then, of course, on mental health, that's probably where he had some of his biggest requests, both in terms of more funding for things like 988, the crisis hotline, and research in mental health, but also proposed legislative changes that would cost billions to Medicare over the course of 10 years.
Well, the proposals include eliminating Medicare's 190-day lifetime limit on psychiatric services in hospitals, which would cost the program $2.9 billion over 10 years. So we'll get to some of that again. But there was also an ask for funding for a small, already existing office, the Office of Climate Change and Health Equity. This falls under health.
Yes, it does. And they actually started that about 3 years ago and have yet to get funding for it. They've asked for it 3 years in a row. $5 million is not a ton of money in the grand scheme of things, but it just has dropped off of the budget every time. Biden is really trying to draw this line between climate change and the impact that it has on our health, but it really hasn't gotten the momentum that he needs. And it didn't seem from remarks that Secretary Becerra made last week that he thinks it's going to get that momentum this year either.
Yeah. What about biosimilars? What are they and why are they important?
Yeah, this is a wonky thing, but it's going to be really important in terms of cutting down people's costs and the system's costs. So biosimilars are versions of more complex drugs than, say, an aspirin pill. There are things like insulin, things like injections that you get at your doctor's office. And the reason we can't call them interchangeable or replaceable by a pharmacist is because every biosimilar, while basically the same, it might not be exactly identical. This would let pharmacists actually switch out, say, if you have a prescription for Humira, for a cheaper version of that. So if this were to go into effect, it could have huge implications for people's pocketbooks.
And as you mentioned, the Biden administration is also very aware of Republicans watching bottom lines. You write that in the budget plan, there were a lot of agencies and programs that wouldn't get any increases and some would get cuts. And you tell us that HIV and AIDS activists were especially bristling, was the word that you used, that there are no increases in funds to help end both HIV and AIDS.
Yes, this does have people up in arms, especially because under President Trump, there was a goal announced to cut transmission and new cases of HIV, by 90% over 10 years. And they're saying it's going to be impossible to do that under the current funding structure, especially because it's stagnant in both the U.S. and in world funding for this from the United States. But this is one of the many examples of how Biden is trying to be pretty conservative with the budget. And I don't mean that in the political sense, but in the monetary sense. They really did try to cut costs or manage them this year.
Yeah. Well, just a question here. Democrats have, I think it's fair to say, in recent history, somehow not been able to get across their narratives on health care. We remember the Tea Party activists would be protesting, hands off my fill-in-the-blank Medicaid or Medicare, when Democrats were not thinking of touching it. And more recently, people tell pollsters, oh, they love the Affordable Care Act. Don't you dare take my Affordable Care Act, but I hate Obamacare, when they're one and the same. So, how much does President Biden hope that just even putting out this proposal in this election year somehow gets across to voters what he'd really like to do?
It's a really good question, because besides the ACA dilemma, he's had a hard time communicating with voters about what he's done so far to try and cut drug costs. And actually, in this proposed budget, he's asking for his plan to let Medicare negotiate drugs actually become broader more quickly. That doesn't seem to be resonating with voters yet either. And then another thing is that he's, you know, proposed more spending on women's health, but there aren't necessarily line items to support reproductive rights and abortion care specifically. Of course, that is very, very limited in federal budgets, but that's another thing he's trying to communicate through the other programs that he's funding, is that he's going to be the person who will defend reproductive rights.
Right. Oh, that's the biggie. That's the headline. But you remind us, too, that some of these are priorities, but they may not become law. So we have a divided Congress that will probably continue, maybe not, but what's the sense that they will, just briefly?
Well, you know, we don't even have this year's budget totally settled, so I'm not super optimistic, but I do think there are a good amount of bipartisan priorities here that would get through.
Yeah. Sarah Overmall, Washington correspondent with our editorial partners at STAT, thank you so much.
Thank you.